Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that as we look at your word, that you're going to cause us to grow deeper than we've ever been before. That every person in this house today is going to go away from this place today with revelation of the things of God, with a deeper understanding of who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. And Father, we pray right now in the name of Yeshua, that by your Spirit you will manifest your presence in the midst of us today and cause everyone that's here to go away from this place with the richness, with the weight of your glory in his life. And I thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking about the glory of God. What is glory? What is glory? Well, it's something Aunt Jenny used to say. She used to say, glory, right? When she got excited. Well, what does it mean? Glory. Glory. Glory is a word that describes God's presence. The manifested presence of God. And we've had a verse that we've been looking at for the past couple, 3 weeks that we want to look at again today. It's a group of verses from John chapter 14. And I'm going to start today with the 15th verse of John chapter 14, which says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now that surprises a lot of Christian people today, because I've heard ministers say this, "Forget about the law." I've had Christian ministers stand up in front of congregations in my presence and say, "We want you to forget about the law." And now, with the understanding that they have, they're probably accurate. But there's an inaccuracy in that statement, because we know that the law is not just commandments, not just judgments, not just ordinances, but the law is the instructions of God. And even the part that is no longer incumbent upon us, and that would be the law of sin and death. How many of you have heard of that in Romans chapter 8? It says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 2 of that same chapter says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free," or set me free, "from the law of sin and death." So the law of sin and death is what we've been delivered from. We're free from that. But that doesn't mean that the study of it does not bear fruit. And when we study the law of sin and death, and discover all of the different sacrifices. There were sacrifices, we talked about one today called the Olah, and we said that's the one sacrifice that's still in existence, because that's the sacrifice spoken of in Romans 12 that says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It might surprise some of you to know this, that the sin offering, the chatat, is the offering that Yeshua offered for us, as well as the peace offerings, the feast peace offerings, right? There were a number of offerings that he offered, so in studying them, we actually begin to understand more about Messiah, more about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We don't study them so that we might offer them up today, but so that we can understand what Yeshua did for us. Amen? Praise God. And that's good, isn't it? So Yeshua said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What words are his commandments?
Love.
Love, okay? That's a summarizing word, right? That summarizes the others. But if you get it down to the, as they like to say, to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, you start Genesis chapter 1, and that's the Word of God. How many of you know that? Say, Genesis chapter 1 is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22. Does it go to 22 or is it just 21? But it's the Word of God, right? It's all the Word. So all of this is Torah, isn't it? Go back to our definition. Torah is instruction. How many of you get instructed through the Word of God? Does the Bible say this? Does the Bible not say about the Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for what? What?
Edifying.
Edifying, yeah. For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. All. Say all.
All.
Now, I'm not going to go over that a long time, but I just want you to know that Yeshua is the one that also said, not one yod or one stroke will depart from my law until all be fulfilled. All. Well, all means that you got to get to the end of Revelation when we're finally, and then, you know, there wouldn't be any need for any of it to depart, would it? Because how many of you believe, just as I do, that even in glory, even in heaven, we're still going to be talking about the Word of God? Amen? There used to be a song that an old hymn that said, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Well, and whether you know it or not, every bit of it points to Jesus and His love. The message of all of the commandments is love. What was the first commandment we read today? The Shema really talks about it, that you love God. And that covers all of the first five commands. And then Leviticus 19:18 says, love your neighbor. That covers the last five of the commands. How many of you believe in the Ten Commandments? You know, we talked one time, people would get so upset that there's no Ten Commandments in the schools anymore. We still don't have one here in the church. We don't have them showing, do we? We need them, don't you think? Don't you think the Ten ought to be showing in the church? I've got some really neat slate that came off of the blackboards of this. This was an old, old school building built in 1935. There used to be a classroom here and a classroom there, and this was a hallway that went right down the middle. There was a door out there and a door out there. And when we first started using this building, that's the way it looked. We used it, and we had a class downstairs right down here in this room. And our Sunday school class probably had as many people or maybe more people that are in the church right now in this little Sunday school class, and we called it Dunamis, and it was about power, and people started getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and that was a part of a class, and eventually God saw fit and told us that He was going to give this building to us, and He gave it to us, and we remodeled it. But this was an old schoolhouse, and we took the blackboards off the wall, and they're made of slate. Can you imagine that? That's what they used to make blackboards out of, was slate. It's about 5/8 inch thick. Very nice slate. And I want to have somebody cut them and engrave them on both sides with the 10 words, 10 commandments in Hebrew, and on the other side in English. I think that would be good, don't you? Have it set up here so that we can have it. Maybe even have another one done for outside. But I think we should have it. But you see, we do get upset about the fact that it's not in the school, and yet the Ten Commandments, really, even more important than they're not displayed, most Christians cannot recite them. Amen? Or oh me. I think maybe an oh me is the word that we would say there. Oh me. We don't know. How many of you know the Ten? Anybody want to get up and give them to me? No? Let me show you again a quick mnemonic. You know what a mnemonic is? It's a way to remember things. A mnemonic. Hold up one finger. Just hold up one finger. Say one. One God. Not two gods. Right? Just one God. So the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'll caution you, if you go to a Bible bookstore and try to buy the Ten Commandments, that's not going to be the first one. But that is the first one. Number two is that there's not two gods. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Neither shalt thou make unto thee any graven image, right? Number three. Here's the way to remember this. Don't say, oh my... Got it? Don't say, oh my G-O-D. Don't say that. Because that would be taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, people who are messianic understand this. It's two twos. Like that. Number four is two twos. We light two candles on Shabbat, and we have two loaves of bread on Shabbat. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five. All of you going to like five. Hold your hand like that. That is, honor your father and your mother. Or. Right? Number six. That's right. It's a six shooter. Thou shalt not murder. Right? Number seven. Rhymes with heaven. And what is heaven? A good marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen? Number eight. Eight's two circles, right? Like that. But if you turn them sideways, they become handcuffs. Thou shalt not steal. Number nine. Nine looks like this. Nine. Or if it becomes deceptive, it flips over and it looks like a six, right? Thou shalt not lie. And number ten. Hold your hands out like this. Number 10, gimme, 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 thou shalt not covet, right? Now see, if you remember that, you'll be ahead of about 85% of the Christians that don't really know them. You know what they'll do? They'll smatter here and there, scattershot, here's one. But you know, we need to know them, don't we? Because they are a basis for our life. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments... Let me go back to the 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Anybody here have his commandments? How do you have them? Well, the Bible says that believers have them in their heart. That's why it's important that we know what they are. They're in our heart. We have them. And keeps them. How do you keep commandments? What do you do when you keep something? What? Obey. Obey. That's a funny sounding word, isn't it? But it is a powerful word. To obey. To obey God. You keep them. You act upon them. You do what they say. You keep them. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, those that do that, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will come, I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I want to talk a little bit more about love. I talked about last week how when I love Henrietta, you know, when we were young, and I had decided that she was the girl for me, that even riding on a tractor with diesel exhaust coming in my face, I could still catch the scent of Henrietta. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't mean that she had a bad odor. I mean she had a good odor. And it wasn't powerful even. Well, I want you to know that God has an aroma. And those that love him know his aroma. Some people have actually testified to being in places where the aroma of God would manifest. People would begin to smell a sweet smell. And physically, it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, there's a lot of people in the world don't love God. That's sad, isn't it? But did you know there's a lot of people within Christianity and the church that don't love him much, according to this definition? They don't love him much. What you love is what you'll do. What you love is what you will occupy your mind and your thoughts. What you love. Loving God. Loving him. A lot of empty seats here today. Where do you suppose all those folks are? Now, I'm not trying to get down on anybody, so don't anybody get mad, but think about it. Well, they love something else more than they love being here today, right? Would you understand that? That's possible. Now, is it possible that they may have a good reason? Absolutely. There may be some that have to be elsewhere. But do you understand what I'm saying? When there's something going on with God and we find other things that occupy our time, we love something else more. I'm glad to hear you say even when you travel, you just want to be in the Lord's house. You want to be with His congregation. Want to be together with the church. And I know a lot of times, you know, we think, well, you know, we've only got just a short time and it's a weekend after all, Pastor, and weekends are so crowded, you know. But, you know, I'll tell you a story about a preacher friend of mine that said he was in church one time. They were having a prayer meeting and he said, I'd sat for quite a while. He said it had gone on for quite a while. And he said, the Lord said to me, or he says, I decided I was going to get up and leave. He said, I thought, well, I'm just going to slip out of here. But he said, before I could actually get up and act on what I thought, he said, the Lord said, what are you in a hurry to do? He said, what do you want to get out of here to do? Now, this is what he told the Lord. He said, I want to go get a sandwich. Maybe go home and watch some news. Do you know a lot of times what we want to do instead is pretty frivolous compared to putting God first? Loving Him, loving God, loving Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says, I will love him if he loves me, and I will manifest myself to him. I like what the Amplified says here. The Amplified says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. How many of you would like it if God was always clearly seen by you? Now, I'm not talking about when you're in church. I'm talking about when you've left the church and you've gotten out on the highway and somebody's tailgating you. You know what I'm talking about, Hannah, even though you don't drive yet, do you? You know, I like to preach to Hannah, I got to tell you. Hannah is one of the most joyous people I have ever met in my life. And God's going to use that joy in you to minister to many, many people, Hannah. You believe that?
Yes.
Do you like to be called Hannah or Hannah?
Hannah.
Hannah. All right, the reason I ask, we've got another little girl around here that always, if you say her name Hannah, she corrects you. And I just don't want to be on the wrong side of name. But you do. You have a joyous countenance, and a joyous countenance is a powerful, powerful thing. And don't you ever let anyone steal it from you or make you feel in any way that you shouldn't have it, because that's the way all believers ought to look. Everybody, look up here and give me a smile offering. Ah, oh, that's very nice. Yeah, yeah. You thought I was going to receive another offering. I did. It really did me a lot of good. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it. He says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him, not just when things are good, but when things are difficult. When you had that phone call in the middle of the night. Hey, listen to me. Any of you ever have those? The phone rings at midnight and you know it ought not be ringing at midnight, right? The Bible has an answer. It says, I will not fear evil tidings, for my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen? And so he says, I'll make myself known to him. I'll let him clearly see me and make myself real to him. When you're driving down the highway again. Do any of the rest of you have any problems driving down the highway? Does everybody treat you courteously on the highway? You drive an 18-wheeler. You probably know that can get to be difficult sometimes. I saw a deal the other day where a car cut a 15-wheeler or an 18-wheeler off and flipped the thing over the top of the center of the highway. And it actually came, and I think there were about 6 cars eventually. Nobody was seriously injured in it, but it was amazing how somebody cut him off. And we've all had that happen, haven't we? God will make himself clearly seen to you even at times like that, if you let him do it. If you'll keep His commandments. If you remember what He says. That's what He's talking about here. Doing what He says and remembering it. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" See, that's one of the reasons I finally had to decide that there's something about keeping the Torah. You know, the Jews call it the first five books of the Bible, but we believe it's all of God's Word. We believe it's every part of the Word. And so we want to keep it. We want to obey it. And here's what I found out is that the Word has life in it. This Word, it's amazing. It's amazing. But think about it. You know, we believe there's a God. And if God's able to give us Word, isn't He able also to put power in that Word to perform it? He can actually, if He gives you a command, He'll give you the power to perform it. To do it. That's what we're talking about here. So as we've been talking about this, we're looking for the manifestation of God. And I realize that people often miss the manifestation of God. In fact, we even talk about in some of the great things that have been done, how that someone could miss a mighty manifestation. We were talking last week about Jesus coming to Lazarus' tomb. He waited several days before He went after He heard He was sick. Actually, what He waited to do was He waited for Lazarus to die. And He told the disciples, "It's good for you that I waited." And then He told them at the tomb, when they were standing there, and He said, "Just take that rock away from the tomb." They all said, "Lord, by now he stinks." And Jesus said, "But didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see what? The glory of God." John 11 and verse 40. Jesus said, "Didn't I say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And we know the story. Because when they rolled the stone away, and He said this to them, He said, "Bo! Lazarus, Eleazar." Bo means come. Bo. That's a neat Hebrew word. I like it. Bo. Means come. I'm sorry. I sometimes forget about the little ones. I do that for your sake because I want to make all of you jump a little bit, but I don't want to make the babies jump. He said, "Come. Come forth." And Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot. What a miracle. I mean, you talk about levitation, it had to be something like that. Because we know the Hebrew embalming, and that He actually told them later, "You have to loose him now and let him go. You have to untie him," because they had wrapped him with all these strips, and then they cover that with myrrh and frankincense and heavy, heavy oils. Some of them that actually begin to set up. These spices. They would set. So here he is. He's wrapped in these things. He comes forth. And they had to unwrap him and let him go. Now, there were a lot of people saw that. You remember that the Pharisees were there and the Sadducees had been there. They sent out professional mourning crews to come and mourn with people. And you know, it was really important to see who could cry the loudest. Right? And so they're there, and all of a sudden, Yeshua gives this shout, "Come forth!" And Lazarus comes forth bound hand and foot. And when he gets out there, you know, they take that wrapping off, and he's alive, and his flesh isn't rotted or anything else. I mean, they've seen something mighty. But did everyone see and behold the glory of God there that day? What do you suppose happened? Well, we know that there were Jews that eventually said, maybe we ought to kill Lazarus too because he's causing us problems. Right? They've got this guy that's been raised from the dead. We need to kill him along with Jesus. Now, I'm not making that up. That's in your Bible. Some didn't see the glory. I'm sure that some of them said, well, I'll tell you what, that coroner really missed that call. Don't you believe that? His stethoscope must have had something plugged up, right? He couldn't hear his heartbeat. Some people were bound to say that. And then, remember this, that it wasn't unusual for there to be people doing sleight of hand during that time too. Magic tricks were done. Even during the time of Moses, we know that there were magicians around that could duplicate, at least it looked like they were duplicating, some of the miracles of God. So some people undoubtedly were saying, well, we don't know what we saw, but we know that the dead don't rise. And you know that they hadn't seen much of that, right? Beside that, if they believed that he raised the dead, then they'd have to at least believe that was one of the qualifiers that would make him Messiah. So some people can be right in the presence of a glorious work, a mighty move of God, and not see anything. They miss it. Because their hearts are heavy. Because their eyes have covers on them. Right? And so everybody doesn't see it. And so this is the reason I believe the Lord's saying this to people. He's saying, you know, that we need to put our trust in the Word of God so much so and love God so much that we believe if He says it, it's true. You know, there's always somebody trying to prove. Even Christians get into this. I get so irritated. They're so concerned that they could pull Noah's Ark down. Now, I'd like to see it. Don't get me wrong. But it would not help my faith if I saw Noah's Ark. Would it help yours? It shouldn't. I know there was a Noah's Ark. Do you know? I know there's an Ark of the Covenant someplace. But I don't have to see it to have my faith built. In fact, the Bible says those things don't build faith. The Bible says only hearing the Word of God builds faith. Hearing, 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 hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So we need to hear what God says. We need to hear what He says. Looking at the story of Lazarus, does our faith have anything to do, however, with seeing the glory of God? Does faith have anything to do with it?
Yes.
Of course. There were people, Mary and Martha, believed it. They believed it. They didn't say, well, maybe, you know, maybe Lazarus, we just thought he was dead. Maybe we overestimated his condition, right? Or underestimated his condition. How was it that was said about Hemingway one time? The news of my death has been greatly exaggerated or something like that. No, they believed it. And a lot of other people believed it. And the disciples of Jesus, they believed this. And because they believed, they saw the glory. The glory doesn't always look like something so overt, does it? Did you know when every time someone is born again, and we believe in being born again here, Jesus said, you must. Did every time someone's born again, you don't see anything necessarily on the outside, but on the inside, glory has happened. Maybe the most glorious happening of all is the new birth, being born again. Every time someone is healed. Now, your granddaughter's name again is Christina? Or Christine?
Christina.
Christina. Christina. Now, if you get home today, when you step there today and she tells you the headache's gone, there is not something that you see, but the absence of that which was there is glorious, isn't it? It's the healing, right? I believe you're going to hear that. I believe you're going to hear that about, I don't remember exactly what time, a lot of times I'll look at the clock when I say those words, but about that time that headache departed. And you believe with me that those don't come back. See, people tell you you'll always have migraines. Listen, people, you don't have to have migraines.
Not true, I don't have migraines.
Amen. And I want to tell you, God gave us a blessing. And that blessing said you should be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion,
dominion over what? Everything. You have dominion by faith. Over these things. Kim was telling me about having dominion over woodpeckers. Were they woodpeckers or some kind of bird?
I had two woodpeckers. Woodpeckers, once they come, do not leave.
Yes, they don't.
Coming. I took care of two properties, and they are just eating the whole side of this very old house. And I go out, and I'm hanging CDs, and I'm hanging tin pans, and I'm spraying stuff all over. And I'm thinking, they're going to ruin this. I'm going to have my children do something and exterminate them, which is against the law. So it's like, oh, you know, do we all go to jail or do I let them eat the house? I'm talking to Jane, and I've been thinking of, and praying about dominion. And the Lord said, you have dominion, but you have to grasp it. You have to believe it. You have to embrace it because it's yours. But you've got to believe that. And so I'm talking, and I say, Jane,
let's pray.
What am I thinking? Right? I'm saying I should have my children shoot them. We go out, and I pray, and I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm testifying. All of a sudden, these birds take off. They've not been back.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That doesn't happen. And it's just like, Father, this is real. This is true, but it's that we step out and you believe. It's there, it's real, but we have to embrace it and say, yes, this is mine. Yes, this is what Jesus did for me. And it's not a respecter of persons.
Not anybody.
It's for all of
everybody.
Us. Come in.
That's
come
right.
In.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I'm sitting down.
What do you call that?
Glory.
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 Can I hear you say glory?
Glory.
It's glory. Somebody else said, well, that's probably just a, you know, it's a coincidence. Well, it is to them, see, and so they don't see glory, but I see glory in that. I see glory in answered prayer.
Yes.
I see glory when the things that we say in prayer come to pass. Amen? That's glorious. It's God's manifestation. Now, there are some things that are big and overt, praise God, and we're going to see some big ones. In fact, the Bible tells us in Numbers 14:21, it says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. In Psalm 72:19, blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. And then we read in Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now I got something out of that I thought maybe we ought to talk about. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Well, you see, I've known there's glory for a long time, but I have to be really honest with you. I've been preaching a long time. I know I look young, but I've been preaching a long time. I've seen some glorious manifestations, but I don't exactly know how to work with them. Is anybody around here honest enough to say that sometime when the glorious manifestation comes, you don't know what to do?
Yeah.
Sometimes when things begin to happen, we don't know what to do, and that's one of the reasons people just fall on their faces. The overwhelming presence of God is so great that people just fall down. It's happened throughout Scripture. But you know what? I don't necessarily know that that's an action of glory as much as it's necessary so that we stay out of the way and let glory manifest. Because we don't know what to do. Preachers are notorious for messing up moves of God. Why? Well, most of the time we're expected to perform. Isn't that right? You know, I mean, I've got to tell you, I've been in places where I tried to wait on the Lord, and I've had people say, come on, let's get something going. Come on, come on. You know, we expect something. And yet I don't think that's necessarily the way God would do it. Sometimes I think He wants us to wait, even in silence. No, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord has to do with knowing how the glory works a little bit. And I'm coming to a place where I'm beginning to understand a little bit about it. Now, I fly in airplanes. Do you fly sometimes? get on an airplane and you get in a seat and you fly. How many of you actually pilot airplanes? Anybody here a pilot? Well, I want to tell you something. It's different to ride on one than it is to pilot one. Now you say, duh, huh? You know, we know that. But you see, this is the difference between being in the glory and having the knowledge of the glory. And God says there's a day coming when we will know how to work with the glory. We'll know how to come together as congregations and let the glory be in manifestation. Here's a greater revelation. We're going to know how to walk out on the street among people and let the glory of God manifest. Does that make you scared? A good friend of mine, I shouldn't say good friend, an acquaintance of mine that I've talked to and I feel close to him, was walking through the Salt Lake City airport, Mormon country. In fact, the friend with him was actually I can't remember what he's called him, bishop or something in the Mormon church. And his wife was with him. And they're walking down the concourse in the Salt Lake City airport. And he said, for years I've been saying, Lord, I'd like to see the dead rise. I'd like to see the dead rise. I want to see the dead rise. And he said, we turn around this little bend. And he said, right in front of us is a group of people gathered around a man lying on the floor. And he said, the Lord said to me, do you still want to see the dead rise? Now see what I'm talking about. Could make you very uncomfortable for a moment until you come to the place where you realize that the responsibility is not yours. But my friend Jim Power said, yes, Father, I'd like to see the dead rise. And he said, okay. He said, just go on up there with them. Get close to them. So he said, I walked up and he said, there were people just all around. And he said, the Lord said, you just say, I command the spirit of death to depart from this man and I command the spirit of life to come into him. And he said, I walked right up there and he said, I was shaken, my knees were shaken. Well, actually, I got to tell you a little bit, I got to go back just a bit. He said, I turned to my wife and I said, I believe the Lord wants me to raise this man from the dead. And his wife, being his helpmeet, said, oh, no! But he said, I walked up and I got right where the people were gathered. And he said, I got right up above there. And he said, I said just what the Lord said. I command the spirit of death to depart from this man. I command the spirit of life to come into him. And he said, do you know what happened? He said, absolutely nothing except the crowd all back about 20 feet. And he said, I thought, well, Lord, I did it. And he said, yeah, but I want you to do it again. I want you to say it again. And he said, so I said it again. He said, still nothing. He said, people backed up about another 20 feet. Because he said, I got a little noisier the second time. He said, the Lord says, now say it again. He said, this time before I opened my mouth, he said, I knew. He said, I knew. And he said, when I said it, he said, that man jerked and sat up with his eyes wide open. And he said, he looked like he had seen something horrible, you know. But he raised him from the dead. The man right in the middle of an airport. Now, Lord, couldn't we do that in a quiet room in a mortuary? You know, couldn't we do that? You know, it's funny, it doesn't work that way most of the time. And listen to me now. You realize that when that happens, that's not a fun time. I mentioned it a while back, but we had a lady that had gone here for quite a long time. In fact, she was a faithful prayer warrior. And she came one morning, and I noticed her being a little bit restless. And pretty soon she went up, and there used to be an usher chair that sat right back on the door there. And she went back, and she sat down in that chair. And as soon as she sat in that chair, she'd slump back, and her eyes rolled back in her head. Her mouth was wide open, or open. And there was a girl here that was a paramedic, EMT, I'm not sure what her rank was, but she went right over to her. I mean, you know, this kind of fouls up a service. I mean, from my point of view, it fouled up the service, you understand? You know, I'm trying to get, you know, a message across and, you know, how rude. The devil is rude. the devil is rude. And this girl, Ann was her name, walked over and she tested for vital signs and she looked up at me and she went like that. And the Lord told me, he says, now come against fear, bind fear. And so I began to talk down fear immediately and began to tell everybody, now let's believe and let's praise. And we did, and I did a really stupid thing. I walked back and tried to pull her tongue out of her mouth. Don't do that. Because she was swallowing her tongue. And her jaw was set, and it's not a smart thing to do. You get your finger bit off. That's what you could do. But anyhow, before that happened, the Spirit of the Lord hit her, and she opened her eyes and came back. Now, you say, well, you know, what happened to her? Well, we don't have anything other than an EMT telling me that there was no vital signs. But I want you to know something. What I know in my heart, I know the glory of the Lord was manifest in our midst. You say, well, I don't want a church like that. I want a church where I can go and sing Rock of Ages and go home. Right? You don't want to come here. Because we expect to see things like that. I don't expect anybody to die in church again. I don't want that to happen. But I want to tell you something. I do expect the glory of the Lord to manifest. Amen. And I believe you can bring sick people here and the glory of the Lord will manifest. Do you believe that? I believe you can bring unsaved people here and they'll get saved if they'll hear. Amen? My experience is if I can get people to sit for 3 services, they'll get saved if they haven't already. Amen. This is a new day we're living in. People, look around you at how bad it is on the outside. You don't look too long, but you know, it's bad out there. It's dark. Did the Bible say that gross darkness would cover the earth? That's what the Bible said. It said gross darkness. Listen, the things that we're seeing with the financial realm, those are all prophesied things. The things that are going on in the natural disasters, those are all prophesied things. And you know, people get panicky because, listen, what kind of good would it do for us to go and carry a sign and say, we're against BP. Down with BP. Would that help anything? I don't think any glory is going to be manifest in that at all, do you? But I'll tell you what, I believe that God will take care of the oil spill in the Gulf. Do you believe He can do that? I believe He can take care of all of these global problems. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do our part. Don't get me wrong. But I do believe that for us to get all up in arms about things, and see, here's what's going on right now. People are absolutely beside themselves because our government cannot do anything about that. Have you noticed that? People are upset. Well, you know, I've got to tell you that, you know, whether I voted for someone or not, I've got to tell you the president didn't have anything to do with this, and I don't think he's got much to do with getting it cleaned up either. Right? We better trust in God. We better trust God. We better trust Him. Did God say if we will believe, we'll see the glory of God? How many of you think you could ever get tired of seeing those kind of manifestations? I always want to see them. God said if we would obey Him, He would manifest Himself. God said if we would believe, we'd see the glory of God. Well, I want to tell you about this weight of the glory we sang about this morning. Weight of the glory. The weight, the majesty, the richness, the splendor, the brightness and the magnificence of God's glory. God's things are heavy. Amen. They're heavy, man. Heavy, right? Heavy. They're weighty. They're worthy. That's the way God is. He's worthy. I want to tell you that the key to it, though, is the way we receive it. When things are going bad on the outside, there's darkness covering the face of the earth. You know what? There's a place of light for covenant people. There's a place to stay in the light, walk in the light, be in the light, do what God tells us to do. I believe that the weighty things that God's talking to us about have to do with the way we value the things of God. If you want to see His weight, then value what's important to Him. Value His things. Value His Word. Value Him. It's all about the way we treat the things of the Lord. In Malachi 1:6, I can't really believe this is true, but we're 15 minutes till 12, and I think I'm nearly done. Now, those that aren't used to being in a church like this, they're probably saying it's about time. But you know what? God wants us to honor Him. Listen to what He said in Malachi 1:6. He said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father..." How many of you call Him Father? Abba. He's our Father, isn't He? He said, "Where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear, my reverence, my awe? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name," and you say, "Wherein have we despised your name?" See, there's a lot of people that aren't honoring God, and they don't even know they're not doing it. That's what the priest said. Well, I don't know if you know what the church was like, actually the temple crew, during the time that he's talking about here, but they were backslidden. They were a bunch of people that were really away from God, and they just went through motions. Did you know so much of what church is going through motions? Just going through the motions. Just coming week in and week out and go through the motions and get a little bit of a good feeling because you were at church. That's not what we're looking for here. I'm looking for the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. I'm looking for the things that God said. God said there ought to be, in my people, there ought to be powerful gifts in manifestation. He said there ought to be gifts of healings. He said there ought to be miracles. He said there ought to be discerning of spirits. He said there ought to be prophecies. He said there ought to be tongues and interpretation of tongues. Did you know that? Those things ought to be going on in the body. Those things should be happening all the time. That's what I'm looking for. I want to learn to work within that framework, don't you? I want to be part of what God's doing. He said, "Don't be casual with me." Say, "Casual."
Casual.
Come on, casual.
Casual.
Not here.
Not here.
That's right. We're not casual with God. We want to stir ourselves up. Somebody said, "Well, sometimes you just act like you're trying to get us to emote." Well, you know, it wouldn't hurt for you to emote a little bit. You could actually get a little bit more emotional than you are. I've been with some of you, I've been around some of you. When other things happen, you can get excited about things. You can get excited. How about excited about Jesus? People go down and watch those Denver Broncos, and I like them, by the way. Watch the Colorado Rockies. I like them too. And they'll shout and they'll yell. And they'll holler. If somebody hits a home run, woo! Somebody goes for a long run back in a football game, man, I mean, we're jumping. Those Huskers take off, and I mean to tell you, they are a powerhouse some years. They haven't been too much lately. But, you know, we get behind those things and we get emotional. And we've got a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we sit and act like we're bored. How long, O Lord? I think it's time for us to get excited.
Amen.
I think it's time for us to act excited, yes.
I just heard this guy, Graham Cook, and his video was so powerful. It was really short. It was only like a minute long, but what he said was so profound and so powerful. He says, you know, I believe what God would say to the church is, believe me for the outrageous. You know, believe me that I'm going to do more than all you ever imagined. He goes, bankrupt me if you can.
Yep.
Bankrupt heaven if you can. Go for the gusto. Believe that I'm going to heal who you say, who you pray for. Believe I'm going to bring in that financial prosperity. He says, treat me like I am a trillionaire to the millionth degree. In every way, financially, spiritually, emotionally. He goes, treat me like I am so awesome. You couldn't contain me. He goes, bankrupt me if you can. I dare you. I was like, that is
praise
so
God.
Awesome.
That's good. And you can't, can you? We'll never bankrupt our God because our God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's all sufficient. He's the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this. This is the way the church has gotten to acting. 1 Corinthians 11:17. Paul telling the church in Corinth, he says, "Now this, in this I that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." You ever been to church and felt like you wished you hadn't gone? Now I want you to be honest with me today. Yeah, we have. Why? Why? There's more death than life. We've got the same things going on in the church we got going on in the world. Death. Darkness. Paul goes on and he says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you." In a church? Well, you know what? Say, not here.
Not here.
We don't want divisions. In fact, I want to tell you, fight strife harder than you fight anything. Don't allow strife in your life. Have zero tolerance for strife. You want to stop the manifestation of the Spirit? Get into strife. You want to have the glory appear someplace and you not be able to see it? Be in strife. You know what strife is? We've been talking about what's glory again? The manifest presence of God. So what is strife? That's right. It's the manifest presence of Satan. But everything we do here is about Yeshua. There won't be any strife, will there? Everything we do here about the things of God, there won't be any strife. The Holy Spirit is saying today, come out. Come out. I heard Him say this morning. Come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean things. Don't touch the unclean things. You see, one of the problems with the church is we want the eternal life part. I like that eternal life. It's called fire insurance. Right? We're going to miss hell. But we really don't like anybody telling us how to live our lives. And God wants to tell you just the best way to live your life. God wants to show you the right way and the best way. You know, He's really all right. He's not bothering anybody. They just think He's shouting amen every now and then. He's doing good. So really, what is it? It's us coming together and coming out of the world's way of doing things. The Holy Spirit says, come out from among them. Come out. But listen to what else He says. He says, come up. Come up. Come up. God's speaking to His children today saying, come up. Come up to a higher plane. Come up to higher ground. Come up to a place of glory. How far? From glory to glory to glory. Keep coming. Keep rising. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I will. Ascend to the heights of God. I will ascend into His high places. In the name of Yeshua. Now let me ask you, if you know who said, I will ascend to the heights of God the other way.
Babylonians.
And Hasatan. You read about him in Isaiah. I will ascend above the throne of God. We didn't just say that, did we? We said we will ascend up in the name of Yeshua. We'll go to the high places of God. God said, I'll take you on my high places. I'll give you feet like hinds feet. I'll give you feet that can walk in the high places of God. And that's where He wants us. That's what He has for us. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. Amen. Would you stand with me? Praise God. I'm going to ask today, is there anybody here today that you've not ascended to the place of the new birth? That you haven't come into a place where you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Is there anybody among us today that you've never actually said, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Is there anybody here that would say, I need to do that before I leave here today? See, we're not going to get into some kind of religious thing. I'm not going to have an organist play. Listen to me now. I'm not going to have everybody close their eyes because this is not some religious thing. This is relationship with God we're talking about. Amen? Is there anybody here today that you'd say, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? I need to do it today. I've heard that there's a relationship. I believe there's a relationship. I believe there's a place where I can be in the presence of God. Would you raise your hand and just say, that's what I need. I need to be born again. Anybody? Everybody here today born again? Anybody here that hasn't made Jesus Lord and Savior of their life? Just say, Pastor, I need Him. Anybody? Okay, praise God. Father, I pray today for every person in this house. I pray and I ask You in the name of Yeshua that You will move upon every person's heart right now, and that every person in this house today, Lord, might walk with You. And Lord, that we might be together in heaven one day. That's my prayer. Not because we can be good. Not because we can do good things. But because we have trusted on the One who gave Himself for us. On the One who hung on the cross, on Jesus Christ the righteous. I want you to say this with me. Because I just have this sense that everybody hasn't said this. I want everybody. Now it won't do you a bit of good if you won't say it out loud. If you won't do it with me, but if everybody will do this, just say, I do confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is God. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Word says, if I will confess, and if I believe, I am saved. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Father. If you just did that, there's only one thing you've got to do. I know you need to be baptized, but that's not what you've got to do first. You've got to tell somebody. Say, I've got to tell somebody. That's right. Everybody's got to tell somebody. Confess Him. Say it out loud. Tell somebody about it. Just say, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I know I did that, and I know I'm saved because I believe what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lift your hands. Everybody, have a little aerobic time here. Lift them up. Lift them way up high. Get up on your tiptoes. Come on. Come on. We won't do any more exercising, but just put your hands up. Get ready to receive the blessing of the Lord. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavaleka vikaneka yisa Adonai panavaleka v'yasem lacha shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received it said,
Amen.
Praise God.